Before I begin the message, I want to say how much I appreciate the choir tonight. I spoke about it. We've got about 63 in our choirs tonight, not counting the little tops that were here. And that's more than many a church has in their congregation tonight, just the choir alone. And I'm also glad to see the entire family sitting here with their children. And that's the way it ought to be. And some of you got some very small children here. And if they go to sleep, why, just comfort them. And let them go to sleep and stretch them out on the pews if necessary. But bring your children. Bring your children. And the finest memories they'll have is that when they were little, they came to church on Sunday night and sat with mother and father. And I want to encourage that in every way we possibly can. And we had a wonderful Children's Day service this morning, and we want all these children to come into the church and be with the families in the church. All right, now let's turn to the 12th chapter of John for a message on the Lord as we're going to. In verse 46, Jesus said, "I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." Jesus Christ drew very severe lines about himself. If you didn't have him, you were in the dark. If you did have him, you were in the light. There wasn't any shadow. There wasn't any gray. There wasn't any twilight. It was either darkness or light, one or the other. And the lines which he draws are very stern. They're very severe. They're very incisive. They're very clear. And in this section which I read for the scripture, Jesus Christ discusses the matter of light and darkness, looks at both of them, and then he turns around and says, "I'm the light," and everything else is dark. Tremendous claims concerning himself. But these are the claims which he made everywhere he went and on every subject that he touched. "I am bread," he said. If you didn't have him, you were chewing on stones. He said, "I am the resurrection." If you didn't have him, you were buried and dead. "I am the way." If you didn't follow him, you didn't know where you were going. Tremendous lines that he draws. They're severe, they're sharp. It's either Christ or nothing. And that's the thing about the Christian faith which has been so offensive to so many people. And especially to our age, where everything's to be blended and everything's to be commingled together. Jesus doesn't fit into our day. He can't possibly accommodate himself to the temper and the spirit of man today. And so when we turn to this passage, we see him emphasizing darkness and light. It's beautiful to see the way the Lord brings home to everybody the position which he occupies. You don't have to be born again to know that when you're in the dark, you stumble. These are things that are self-evident in nature. And the ungodly knows that when he gets in a dark room and there's no light there, he just can't do very much. Any man knows that. And so the Lord takes the illustrations for his own ministry from the general area of the common grace that God's given to all men, and he says, "Now this is it, you see it, you know it," and he starts at a place at which they have to agree that he's right. And then he proceeds from that to develop this glorious, magnificent, unique position which only he himself occupies. And so I want to start with you and show you first tonight what the Lord has to say about light and darkness in general. And then I want to show you what he has to say about light and darkness specifically, which relates to himself. And then I want to show you the attitude that men take toward this light and toward this darkness as he presents himself. Beloved, everywhere Jesus went and anything he said, men had to agree or disagree. He divided men everywhere he went. He was so frank, he was so simple, he was so blunt, he was so clear, that you either had to come and bow down before him and acknowledge his claims, or you had to dispute them or do something about them. Jesus is the kind of a person you can't leave alone. You either have to face him or you have to absolutely reject him. He made himself that way because of who he is. Now we begin in this 12th chapter with the 35th verse. Jesus said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. Now, you don't understand that he's calling himself the light until you get down a little later in verse 46. I am the light, and yet a little while I'll be with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you, for he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. And there you have first this great general appeal to light and darkness, which is common to all of us and we're fully aware of. And from that, he proceeds then to introduce himself and to claim that he alone is the light and all else is darkness. Now, we don't have any argument with this thesis which he draws. You can't possibly argue with it. If a man walks in the night, he's apt to stumble. If a man walks when it's dark, he doesn't know where he's going. He may think he does. He fumbles around in the room. And you yourself can go into your own house or into your own bedchamber at night, and it's dark. And you have to fumble around and try to feel with your hand to find the switch so you can put it on. Sometimes you fit it and sometimes you don't. But I can go into some of your houses, and you'll notice around the electric light switch, the fingerprints that are on the wall that miss the switch. You just go into your house and see the fingerprints that are around the wall on your switch that missed it. And I dare say that most of those dirty fingerprints got on some night when you was trying to fumble and find it, because in the daytime you can walk in and press the button and don't have any trouble. But in the houses where you find your wallpaper around your electric light switch with fingerprints around it, that's the place where you missed it when you were in the dark. That's what it generally is. You go into a dark room and you don't know any chairs may be there. It's a dangerous thing to start walking around even through your house, especially when you have children. You don't know what toys they put down in the middle of the floor when you weren't looking. And you start stumbling across a dark room where you have children, and sure as you're alive, you'll stumble into something, you'll trip yourself, and down you'll go. And in the dark, you'll jam something in your head, you'll hit your eye, you'll bruise your arm, you'll say, oh, I should have turned on the light before I started out. And you're having experiences like that all the time. And the one place where you don't want to go at night if you don't have any lights is in your automobile. If you don't have any lights and the lights are out on the street, you just better well leave your automobile at home. Don't you start down the street if you don't have any light at night. We have enough sense to know that. We're dealing with the darkness, and we know that in the darkness it's impossible for us to see. And if you can't see, then you better stay where you are, because if you start moving around, you're apt to get yourself into danger and into harm. All the troubles that men have brought upon themselves because they tried to do something without light. Because they sought to undertake activity without knowledge, without light. And that's the problem we're facing on every hand. Last evening, I was in Cape May for the opening of this conference of International Christian Youth. And we've got the most beautiful, lovely crowd of young people you ever saw from all over this country. California, one young lady flew in all the way from Honolulu, Hawaii, just to be at the conference. It's just the most wonderful group you saw. And after the meeting last night, they said they were going up on the beach that's just above the conference there for a hymn sing. And there's not very much light up there. In fact, I think that's one reason why they liked it. There was just enough light up there to let them see, but not enough to be too bright. But anyway, we went up there with them. And you have to climb over a breakwater there that they have, and then you come over on this beach. And there's some big holes there, big chug holes in the beach. as you first got out to where the sand was rather smooth. And there were some ladies with us. And the gentleman always has to help the ladies first up and get them up, and then we go down. And then we said, be careful of this pole here. And one of the ladies says, I can't see very well. Well, neither could we. And we had to take real precautions to keep from stumbling. Then somebody hit a big rock over there that we didn't see. A great big thing, about as big as a football sitting there. Somebody ran into that. And somebody said, we need more light. That's all, we need more light. And if you don't watch out, you'll step in a hole, you'll bump into a stone, you just need more light. Well, of course, last night it was lovely out there, the moon, we had a new moon just breaking. And there by the breakers, they sat on the beach and they stood, and these young people sang for about an hour. Oh, it was beautiful. Let the lower lights be burning. And shall we gather at the river? A wonderful gospel hymn. Fake Springman was there leading them. And it was a beautiful time. But then the moon went down behind the horizon over there, and it really got dark when we started back to the hotel. You can't operate in the dark. You just can't do it. I think I told you when I came back from India this last time how the Indians have their big conference meetings in the light of the moon. And the reason they have them out there is that when the moon's shining, they can go down their little rice paddy paths and these various sections line trouble. When it's dark, they have trouble. And out there, they said that they had it in the dark of the moon because that was the only time I could come, and I didn't realize the significance of the light of the moon to them out there quite as much. And they said it affected the attendance at their conference because people wouldn't go out in the dark. And they had difficulty. Well, we've got the same problems over here right now. People are afraid to go out at night. Street lights, dark, the corner, won't go near the place. You don't know if somebody's going to jump out and stab you in the back with a knife or something. People are scared. We need more light, more light, more light. We're always calling for more light. And we see it in these activities on every hand. And the Lord Jesus Christ turns at this point, and he appeals to the fact that we cannot operate in the dark. We have to have light in order to take our steps. And so he says, walk while ye have light. Walk while it's possible for you to make a step and in safety proceed. That's how simple. Do you know the greatness of the teachings of our Lord Jesus Christ? It's centered in the simplicity of it all. Light, water, bread, serpents, stones. The simplicity of the appeals which the Lord Jesus Christ made, they're absolutely profound. And he says, you cannot operate down here in the darkness. And you go ahead and try it, you'll have trouble. But if you'll wait until the light comes, you can see your step, you can make progress. Nobody can dispute it. Nobody can challenge that. Nobody would question it whatsoever. Don't you go out without the light that will guide your step. And after he draws that line and illustrates it so clearly for us all, oh, beloved, it's in the darkness that wickedness abounds. And if you've ever had any experiences of being in some of these lands where they have the jungles and where they have the wilderness, you just wait till that sun goes down and the darkness comes. And all the vermin of creation comes out and begins to screech and howl and carry on during the night. Oh, how the jungles come alive at night when the sun goes and the light's gone. And all these evil forces begin to operate. And that's true right here in our own society. When the lights go out and the darkness comes, men love darkness better than light because their deeds were evil and the darkness kept the cover over their evil deeds. And Jesus Christ denounces the darkness. And he doesn't want you to live in the darkness. He doesn't want you to work in the darkness. He doesn't want you to have anything to do with the darkness. He wants you to operate in the light. He must have light. And so after he discusses this matter of the darkness, and after he discusses this matter of the light, then he turns around, and now I want to show you these passages in which he speaks of himself. Let's take your Bible in your hand. Yet a little while, verse 15, is the light with you. The light can be with you. You can possess it. You can enjoy it. You can have benefits from that light being with you. Verse 36, while ye have light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. He's saying, believe in me. I'm the light. You put your faith in me, I won't mislead you. You follow me, you'll never stumble. You follow me, you'll never be entangled in darkness. Believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light. So he says that if we'll follow his way and look to him, we will become the children. And when we become the children of light, we are those who then begin to propagate it. We begin to bear witness to it. We begin to manifest that light. And ye are a child of light when you come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so Psalmist said, the Lord will lighten my candle. The Lord will lighten my darkness. You're a candle. And where do you get the light? Because you're walking in the light which the Lord has given unto you. And then he proceeds, and come on down a little further now. Let's watch this argument as it unfolds. But though he had done so many miracles among them, yet they believed not in him. And then we move on down a little further till he gets to the section here about the light. And we find in verse 44, Jesus cried and said, he that believeth on me, believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that sent me seeth him that sent, and he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. Now here's all the emphasis upon the fact that he is the light. He's come in order that you might not abide in darkness. He's come in order that he might bring you to the Father. He has come in order that you might believe in the light. That is, believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. He's come that you might have him for a little while. And while you have him, you walk in that light. Now, beloved, I would like to stop here just a few moments and say to you people that if you don't walk in the light as he is in the light, you're not going to have fellowship. If you don't walk in the light as he is in the light, you're going to have confusion and difficulty and trouble. And today, as I spoke very frankly to the parents of the children as they were gathered here today in the summer, in this Children's Day service in preparation for this summer Bible school, I spoke very frankly. Now, I'm thankful to see so many of you people here tonight. But when the Lord's house is open on the Lord's Day, you ought to be there to get some light. You ought to be there to hear the Lord Jesus Christ exalted and preached. You ought to be there to get the warnings and the exhortation which you need as one who's walking. You ought to be there. And the Lord Jesus Christ is saying right here, while ye have the light, you walk in that light. Because the darkness will come. And when the darkness comes, you're not going to be able to work or to carry on activities in behalf of the Lord Jesus Christ. I tell you people very frankly tonight, I think that time is running out on us as a people. I think our days are very definitely limited and numbered. I think the coming of the Lord is very close upon us, and we're to work while it's day, for the night is just before us, and when it comes, no man is going to be able to work. The tyranny and the slavery and the darkness and the awful affliction which is going to fall upon the people who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And the whole world is taking counsel against God. The Supreme Court of the United States has taken counsel against God. We're neutral about God now. We can't have God in our schools now.
And the minute this build-up is this building throughout the world against God, that build-up is against the light that comes from God. And that build-up is against the Son whom the Father sent. And we need now as never before to walk in that light as He is in the light, that we might have the blessed fellowship that comes in the communion which we have with the Father and with the light. Oh, He says unto you, I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. You want to get rid of your darkness? You get close to the Son of God, you'll get light. That's where you'll obtain it. All right, now let's proceed to further. Turn back and notice. Verse 42. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers, also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they loved the praises of men more than the praise of God. We were just told in verse 37 that though he had done many miracles among them, that they wouldn't believe. Many would not believe on him because he wrought many miracles. And their hearts and their minds were closed and hardened. And that's what we find today. But we're told that there were some who did believe on him. And they recognized that he was who he claimed to be, and that he had come to be a deliverer and a savior, and they saw it. But they were more concerned about themselves than they were about Jesus. They were more concerned about how they would fare with the Pharisees than how they would fare with the Almighty God. And so, because of the fear of the Pharisees, they would not confess. And this is that beautiful word, which means that you stand up and recognize the Son of God. And they would not. They believed, yes, but because of the fear about them as to what might happen to them, they thought that they might even be put out of the synagogue, and they wouldn't sacrifice their seat in the synagogue for any price. So they would hold on to their synagogue seat. They would hold on to the commendation and the praise of the Pharisees rather than the praise of Almighty God. And beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ at this point is telling you and me that if we have the light, we must walk in that light and follow that light whithersoever it takes us, no matter what may be involved so far as this world is concerned. It's not anything to be thrown out of a synagogue if in doing that you have honored the name of the Savior and the Messiah. And Jesus Christ makes it very, very plain. He told his disciples, he shall be put out of the synagogue. He told his disciples that because when they came to accept him and recognize that he was the fullness of the prophecies of Isaiah, the great prophet of Israel, that they would suffer for it. And the moment you decide to walk in the light, the darkness out here seeks then to afflict you. My, how Jesus Christ, a little earlier in the 5th chapter of John, oh, how he develops it. He said, men love the darkness. They didn't want the light. They would not come to the light lest their deeds should be reproved. And men want to hold on to their deeds instead of holding on to God. Men want to hold on to their sin instead of holding on to Christ. And so they're in the dark. You know, beloved, when it comes to this matter of preaching the gospel, you couldn't possibly preach the gospel if you didn't have the power of God to accompany it. The most futile thing in the world would be to try to preach Jesus Christ to man if you didn't have the power of God to accompany the preaching of that gospel. Why, men are running away from it. They don't want to come to the light. Their deeds are going to be reproved. And they love their sin. They love their evil. They love their wickedness. They love darkness, that's all. And how in the world then can you break through? How can you get into the darkness? How can you come? Well, in the blessed providences of God, as the gospel is preached, the light breaks through, and the Holy Spirit takes the light that's broken through and uses it in the heart of a man to change his heart of stone that he might be saved. It would be utter folly to try to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ, tell men about the light when they love darkness, if there wasn't a power that would bring them out of their darkness. You can't preach the gospel without prayer, without faith, without an appeal to Almighty God. It's only the Spirit of God that breaks through that darkness and opens the heart that it might receive the light and come into the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's why in this passage we move on now to this place where the Lord Jesus Christ said, "He that believeth on me believeth on him that sent me." And when you believe on me, he says, you're not just believing on me, you're believing on the Father that sent me. And when you believe in me, you are believing in God. Let not that heart of yours be troubled. You believe in God, he says. Believe in me. You believe in God, you believe in Christ. You believe in Christ, you believe in God. The two go together. And the two are the first and the second person of the eternal Trinity who are working to bring you out of darkness into his marvelous light. Now let's take this one other thought. It's here, please. Notice verse 38. That the saying of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spake, "Lord, who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" That's the 53rd chapter of Isaiah, quoted right here in the 12th chapter of John. And before I go on, may I just say just a moment. Beloved, this is Jesus Christ, the Son of God, quoting Isaiah, the 53rd chapter. He recognizes Isaiah as a prophet. He recognizes Isaiah as speaking the words of God. He recognizes Isaiah as discussing the true condition of an unrepentant Israel. Jesus Christ, in each of these instances, recognizes the prophecy of Isaiah. May I say to you people right now, on every hand, these young men go to these seminaries today, and when they go to these liberal seminaries, they find out they've got one Isaiah and two Isaiah and three Isaiah, and then they have some unknown prophet, and these men have taken the prophecy of Isaiah and just hacked the thing to pieces. And they've redated most of the things that are in it. One was in the 9th century, one was in the 7th century, one was in the 6th century, and they've taken that book of Isaiah. And in the brilliance of their minds, as they tried to give this thing some sort of an explanation, they made themselves fools and dummies in the presence of just ordinary common sense. But, oh, beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ recognized one prophet of Isaiah, just one. And Isaiah was inspired of the Holy Ghost when he spoke. "And who hath believed our report? And to whom hath the arm of the Lord been revealed?" And then he goes on to say, "Therefore they could not believe, because that Isaiah said, he hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts, that they should not see with their eyes, nor understand with their hearts, and be converted." And Jesus Christ is saying, while ye have the light, you walk in the light. If you turn against that light, if you refuse to receive that light, there will be judgment upon you, and it will be a judicial blindness that falls upon you, a blindness which comes in judgment. Do you know that the United States of America has had more light than any other nation in the history of the world? We've been blessed. And now we're sinning against the light. We're sinning against God. We're sinning against His commandment. We're sinning against His revelation. And God's not going to put up with it too long. There's going to fall judgment. And that's exactly what the prophet Isaiah said to Israel. "Israel, if you don't receive this report, if you turn a deaf ear to this message of salvation from God and the deliverance which He promised to you through Moses, if you refuse to accept that, God's judicial judgment will fall upon you. And that's why we call upon men to repent now. Today is the day. Not tomorrow, not next week, not next month, not next year. Today is the day to acknowledge the light and to receive the light and to believe in the light and come to Jesus Christ and be a child of the light. It's a dangerous thing to say no to the light. It's a terrible thing to see the light and deliberately choose the darkness. And God holds you responsible in judgment for refusing to accept the light. And this light is Jesus Christ. The light of the world is Jesus. I am come, he says, into this world a light. And whosoever believeth on me shall not walk in darkness. And if any man hear my words and believe not, I judge him not. For I came not to judge, but to save. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I speak unto you, they shall judge you in that day. And if you refuse to hear the light and to see the light that God's given us in Jesus Christ, beloved, you're going to suffer a fearful, frightful judgment at the hand of Almighty God. Now, I started this message by telling you it was either light or dark. There's no middle ground. There's no gray. There's no shades. There's no shadows. You're either in the light in Christ or you're outside of that light and you're in utter darkness. And when you get to the end of the message, Jesus Christ says, I'm not going to need to judge you. My word is yes. Are you in the light? If you are, the word will be your comfort. Are you in the darkness? If you are, the word will be your condemnation. There is no middle ground when it comes to dealing with Jesus Christ. You accept him and walk in the light. You reject him and you abide in darkness. Now, it's that simple. It's that direct. It's that direct. I'm not going to develop this any further, but I do want to say this, that if you walk in the light, you'll enjoy it, and you'll be happy that your deeds have been reproved. If you love the Lord Jesus Christ, you're so thankful for the light that he turns on. And then when you get some more light and you see that you've been in error, you will correct your ways in order to serve him. In this shame when even Christians don't like to have a little light turned on. That's what we need is light. Marvelous light which we have in the Lord Jesus Christ. Oh Father, we thank you for this simple message. It's such a simple and beautiful message. For Jesus is the light. And we believe that he is that light. And that he came that he might bring into the darkness of this old world the light of God. We thank thee that he died and he was raised again. And now we can preach it. And oh Father, we thank thee that in the preaching of the word, we have this confidence that the Spirit of God attends. For Christ's sake. Amen. Now let's turn, please, to hymn number 535.
Now may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion and fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide upon each one of you now and forever. Amen.